Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. Before we begin today's episode, I want to give another very special shout-out to Dan Silvers and, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong again, Arion Taminga of the Boston Festival of Indie Games for popping on the most recent episode of One-on-One. It's always great chatting with those in the gaming industry, especially those with such passion and love for what they do. Remember, the Boston Festival of Indie Games is happening this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at MIT's Johnson Athletic Center in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Tickets are $10, but if you bring two or more people, you'll each get 25% off admission. For more information, visit bostonfig.com. I'll remind you all of this at the tail end of the show, so you probably don't need to rewind it if you miss anything important. But with that said, let's get today's playlist started. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We are going to start off with a brand new track from Sid, which some of you will recognize as the opening theme to Black Butler, Book of Circus. Here is Enamored.
Oh! 明けるからさ、あざといキスは入れない、復讐は Yes my love、 戻れなくたって海の中で繋がったまま、胸に見せつかひきどこまでも狂気へ、
from 2008's Flag album. Back in our WMWM Salem days, Ketchup Mania was the very first band we interviewed on our show, and I still have their autograph framed on top of my speakers as a reminder of how far along we've come since that time. Now, let's talk a little bit about video games, because Bayonetta 2 is coming out in less than 2 months, and I am so stoked. Since playing the demo at last year's E3, I have waited just a tad bit impatiently for the return of the baddest witch of the bunch. This past Thursday, we were given a savory bite of what we can be expecting from Platinum Games' anticipated sequel. The story so far is looking great, with the focus on Bayonetta saving her friend. We've got, you know, some of our favorite characters coming back, not to mention some of them being playable in the announced online co-op mode. This mode will have you fighting enemies and bosses, with Halos being awarded for a job well done, which can be used to unlock new weapons, costumes, and attacks. And speaking of costumes, yeah, you know, some of the Nintendo ones, like the Princess Peach ones and the Daisy ones, look a little silly. But I think that's kind of the point. But that Fox McCloud one? Now, you know, I may not be a furry, but, you know, cat, dog, or fox ears on the right girl is, you know, damn sexy in my book. I could be a bit of a sucker for good, like, Spice and Wolf cosplay, so that one certainly plays with that interest in mind. In any case, whatever Bayonetta is wearing, it's going to be treading some pretty fetishy ground, which makes me happy that Nintendo didn't let Platinum Games, like, hold anything back. The moves look stylish, especially those torture devices. I remember catching a couple when I tried out the demo, but these are just so delightfully fucked up. And the Umbrum climax is a nice savory bowl of violence I can just give a big seal of approval to any time of the day. Just everything that has been shown for Bayonetta 2 looks like Game of the Year material to me. You know, I try to honor something like an indie title or something that more people should have played when it comes time for that list, but if the game plays as amazingly as this Nintendo Direct makes me think it will, it's going to be a really difficult list to really conjure up, that's for sure. Of course, I need to address the haters. You know, the crowd of people who are still crying over the fact that Bayonetta 2 is a Wii U exclusive. Despite the fact that they were told that this sequel wouldn't have existed without Nintendo's help. Oh, come to PlayStation! Come to Xbox! Any place but the Wii U! Well, listen to me, you motherfuckers! You keep saying that the Wii U doesn't get enough great exclusives. But then when they do, you all start bitching that it's not coming to the other consoles, like a bunch of fucking Nancy boys whose panties are on too tight. Just deal with it, you fucking assholes! Wii U isn't getting the Evil Within, we're not getting Call of Duty, they're not getting Assassin's Creed, no Resident Evil Revelations 2, no Tomb Raider, and probably not the new Silent Hill. If you want to play Bayonetta 2, fork over the fucking cash for the Wii U like a good gamer should. I'd rather own a system that gets a handful of amazing titles than a console that spews diarrhea every week. It's why I'm a Wii U owner, because good games matter to me and Nintendo does a fine job with producing them. So please, for the final time, shut the fuck up about Bayonetta 2 not coming to other consoles or PC. It's a Wii U exclusive because Nintendo put the love and cash towards the game's existence. Please shut up, you anti-Nintendo fuckers. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. That's a little bit too far, maybe. I don't know. But you know what? Sometimes a podcast show needs to be a showcase of letting off steam. You know what I mean, folks? Sometimes we just need to let it all out. We need to get the hatred out so we can get the good back in. And you know what? Let's get the good back in with some music. We are going to spin something from Waves. And this gem comes from their King of the Beach album. It's called Green Eyes.
Green eyes, I'd run away with you. Green eyes, 'cause I'm a fool. I try running away, I'm just not fast enough. I'm just not fast enough. My own friends hate my guts.
Tayo from 2010's Color album. The band has been posting pics of them in the recording studio, which hopefully means a new album is most certainly on the horizon. And thanks for continuing to tune in after last segment's explicit-filled rant. It's not often I launch F-bombs like I'm mashing the control panel, but when I do, it's for a very noble cause. You know, Nintendo has been getting the shaft as of late when it comes to publisher support, but every time they get something good thrown on their lap, the internet trolls just love to whine that it's not coming to the other consoles. People need to just let Nintendo have their victories. Same way they let Sony and Microsoft have theirs. I mean, let success happen for them, alright? After all Nintendo has done for us, for our childhood, for our teenhood, for our adulthood as well, let's just give them some satisfaction in return. And speaking of Nintendo, a couple weeks ago, the company announced a new 3DS handheld aptly named the new 3DS. I'm starting to think they're actually running out of name ideas for their consoles. But anyways, the system will be more technologically advanced with a new system capabilities such as a better 3D enabler, a small secondary control stick, usage of the amiibo figures without, you know, a separate peripheral, and a more powerful CPU. And again, I'm always excited when it comes to Nintendo announcing new hardware, but this time around, I'm a bit on the fence, and here's why. First and foremost, it's only been 3 years since the old 3DS came out, and usually it's more of a 5 to 6 year wait in between console and handheld systems. It's like Nintendo, as well as Sony and Microsoft, they go the lengths to make sure their systems run their proper course, and it's always been like that. The other thing that bothers me is that the games that are, like, being made, especially the revamped Xenoblade Chronicles, they're only going to work with the new 3DS. And this worries me because I have bought the 3DS last year, and it still feels like I haven't used it to its fullest potential. Now, granted, I've gotten my money's worth from it, with my system being paid off threefold thanks to all the review copies I've gotten in the past, but that's from my perspective. I also worry, too, because it's now a mini flashcard that it takes and not the regular size one. And because of that, I probably won't be able to transfer all my data to the new 3DS whenever I get it. First world problems, I know. So let me ask you listeners then for your opinions on the new 3DS. Is Nintendo ready to release a new handheld, or is it too soon? If you own a 3DS already, what do you plan to do when they stop developing games for it? Comment below our Facebook page or write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com, and we'll read off your responses on the next episode. Coming up next, we've got a new track from Headphones President, who just released the excellent new album, Disillusion. Out of all the artists I'm playing this week, this is one that I seriously recommend tossing your cash to. It's a great metal album, and it still makes me smile that lead singer Anza was Sailor Moon in the stage musical for 5 years. You know, for playing the Defender of the World, she's got quite the destructive voice. Anyways, from Disillusion, this song is called Breathe.
like I wish I could. But these sober tears are all that's left to shed. Sank your soul, now made of lead. Face down beneath the rubble lies a man. Tells of a future already in the past. And of himself, well, he hasn't much to say. But wait, the gods, it's judgment day. He said, I left my home where the dead never rose. For the streets of gold I've yet to find. And at the end of the day, all you can do is pray. Without hope, well, you might as well be blind. Yeah, be blind. Tomorrow comes a day too soon. Tomorrow comes a day too soon. Angel of my youth, where have you gone? You flew away too soon. This brick I built now builds a higher wall. See it crumble, hear me fall. There hangs the fool who once had it all. He said, I left my home when it dead never rose. But the streets of gold I've yet to find. Without hope, well, you might as well be blind. Yeah, be blind. Tomorrow comes a day too soon. Tomorrow comes a day too soon. And though the road has yet to rise on these 100 years that pass me by, and the blood with the river flows, he said, I left my home where the dead never rose. For the streets of gold I've yet to find. And at the end of the day, all you can do is pray. Without hope, well, you might as well be blind. Yeah, be blind. Tomorrow comes a day too soon. Tomorrow comes a day too soon. Tomorrow comes a day too soon. Ah, well, you never looked so good.
The true kings of Celtic punk, that was Flogging Molly with Tomorrow Comes a Day Too Soon. That comes off of their 2004 album, Within a Mile of Home. While the band is still touring like crazy, one of the members, Nathan Maxwell, will be releasing a new album with this side project, The Bunny Gang, called Thrive, in stores September 23rd. I think I might have mentioned this when I talked about Kill Me Baby, but recently I acquired Hulu Plus. And the great thing about Hulu Plus is that a lot of shows licensed by Funimation, Sentai Filmworks, and Viz Media are available on there to stream. So I've been taking advantage of that and have begun catching up on shows of old and new. One show in particular caught my interest in the title alone, and that is the Funimation released The Devil is a Part-Timer. The anime follows a demon lord. Well, not just a demon lord, the demon lord, Satan himself, whose kingdom in the land of Entei Isla has been overtaken by the forces of good. He decides to run off with one of his generals and finds himself smack dab in Tokyo. What's worse, nearly all of his powers are drained, so he can't get home or use force to conquer Earth. So the demon lord, who now goes by the name of Mao, has no choice but to find a job as a fry cook in a McDonald's knockoff. Not only are he and his general, Ashiya, stuck on Earth, but so is the hero who vanquished him off the throne, Emmy, who is now working at a call center. There are other characters too, but I don't want to spoil too much about the show. However, I will say that one of Mao's co-workers, Chiho, has a crush on the devil, and she fights the urge to share her feelings. Now, the best way to describe The Devil is a Part-Time is, honestly, once upon a time, what with the interdimensional people entering the real world, meets a little bit of Kevin Smith. There's a lot of great action, especially in the opening scene of episode 1. The animation by White Fox, who is currently doing Akame ga Kill, is very well done, capturing every slice and punch during a battle sequence. When it comes to the comedy, there is a certain Clerks vibe coming off of both Mao and Asya, although in this case both are a mixture of Dante and Randall. Well, specifically Mao. I feel like Mao is both Dante and Randall in some cases. There is the obvious mistaken lover's quarrel between Emmy and Mao, but because we know their backstory and it's obvious neither of them want to get into each other's pants, it doesn't feel cliched. What I also like about the show is how we see the characters adapt to their new surroundings. Mao and Asya begin without knowing any Japanese at all. In fact, it's a made-up language similar to that one heard in the old GameCube game Star Fox Adventures. Then, they have to register as residents of Japan, find a place to live, and then get a job. Now, while these things all come about rather quickly, you still see them struggling somewhat to get to where they need to be. They learn to budget their foods, how the bathhouses work, and even the gripes of dealing with something so simple as riding a bike to their jobs. And when Chihiro finds out about their secrets, well, she actually takes it in a nice stride. Special props have to go to the voice actors who bring these characters fully to life with personality. Ryoto Osaka jumps well between the sinister devil and his Mao counterpart, playing up his not-that-evil mentality with wondrous glee. Yoko Mikasa, whom you may know from K-On! As Mio, not to mention from when our friend Sawa-sensei talked about the song she wrote for her recent single, she's wonderful as Emmy, diving in strong with both comedic and emotional timing when it comes to the battles and some of the humor of the show, not to mention when you learn about their backstory. Chiho's spunky attitude comes in terrifically through Nao Toyama's work, and Yuki Ono does a fine job playing second fiddle as Asya. If you are in need of a show with great comedy and a good amount of action, I highly suggest checking out The Devil is a Part-Timer. It's got the kind of humor that I think anyone, even non-anime fans, will enjoy. In fact, I'd like to see someone adapt it into an American show. It would be like one of the easiest transitions, to be honest, with like only subtle changes here and there. I can honestly picture someone like Kevin Smith or maybe even like Edgar Wright adapting this for a TV show, putting it on like NBC, CBS, or actually BBC America might be a better spot for a show like The Devil is a Part-Timer. I think it could work. I think it would be awesome to see a live-action version of The Devil is a Part-Timer. Like, if anybody knows anyone who works within the TV industry, please tell them about The Devil is a Part-Timer and make a live-action version here in America or Britain or Canadian, definitely maybe somewhere like Canada. Make it a reality. That's your task, listeners. Until then, Funimation has just released a series on Blu-ray, and while I haven't watched the dub, the cast of Josh Greel, Tia Ballard, and Felicia Angel make it sound very promising. And a little more good news, Yen Press is releasing the original light novels in America beginning early next year. Now, in honor of The Devil is a Part-Timer, I will introduce the next song in the fake language heard in the kingdom of Ente Elsla. Well, here goes nothing.
Big bag, it is your old easy left root punch.
And for those listening and wondering what that translates to, here it is. Up next, we got Shoko Nakagawa with a song from her 2008 Big Bang release. This one is called Fruit Punch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Domestic Fucker Family by Dorian Gray from their 2002 album, Kiso. The band will be releasing a new album called Arched on December 10th with the Japan tour to coincide with it. So hopefully that'll mean another world tour will follow. A couple weeks ago, I played a song called I Love You All, which was from the movie Frank. And this past week, I was able to go check it out. And it follows this keyboard player named John, played by Domhnall Gleeson, who is the son of Brendan Gleeson, the star of the movie Calvary that I talked about a couple weeks ago as well. He gets pulled into a band with an unpronounceable name. I think it's like Soron Ploops. I tried to pronounce it on that episode a while back, but I think I failed miserably. And this band is led by a papier-mâché head-wearing singer named Frank, portrayed here by Michael Fassbender. The film shows the process of the band trying to make an album in the middle of the woods, climaxing with a gig at the prestigious South by Southwest Festival. Of course, it's not a smooth sail for this band. In fact, nothing is smooth about this band whatsoever. Frank is a movie about the madness that can occur when trying to create a unique sound. Think of what happened to Brian Wilson when he first thought up of Smile, and multiply it by 100. While the concept of the character Frank is based off of the late Frank Sidebottom, the movie version has also plopped an inspiration from the legends and meltdowns of Brian Wilson, as well as artists like The Residents, Captain Beefheart, and Syd Barrett. It's strange, though, because the guy wearing the fake head seems to be the sanest of the bunch, with John, Clara, whose portrayal by Maggie Gyllenhaal was vulgarly well done, and the rest of the band members slipping further and further down to madness and physical chaos. Michael Fassbender does a great job with portraying his emotions under his fake head, with him going so far as to cleverly deliver his real facial expressions verbally into the annoyance of Clara. In fact, you don't even get to see his actual face until close to the end of the movie, but I don't want to talk too much about why you're able to see it in fear of spoiling it. All I can tell you is that in indie experimental rock fashion, things fall apart faster than you can say chinchilla. Frank is a weird movie, but a good one nonetheless. If you want to know what kind of psyche musicians with mental illnesses can find themselves flushing out through their creativity, then by all means, go give Frank a watch. At the very least, see it for Fassbender's performance. That guy can be given any role and do a magnificent job with it. It's playing in select theaters now, but you can also find it on demand to watch if you don't feel like going out. On Comcast, it's like $6, which is less than a single ticket. Whew. You know, I'm enjoying being able to check out these indie movies and talking about them. I should do that more often on here. I know back in the day, the old B3 show would talk about a film almost every week, but it'd be some action flick or frat house comedy or something more mainstream. Not that there's anything wrong with that, mind you. I just wish that we saw an indie movie or art house film once in a while, something that would really challenge the way we think. I'll see what I can conjure up in future episodes, but for now, let's return to the playlist. Here is some Boston bred ska music for your taste buds. It's the Mighty Mighty Boston's with a classic from their More Noise and Other Disturbances album. It's Where Did You Go? We'll be right back.
Where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go?
Out in the fridge, I left in the mirror. Played a tape I couldn't hear. Empty speaking. Where did you go? When I wondered, where did you go? What song come up from the back step? Thought about the last 3 years. I lost control. I swear I tried. I was the cold and waited. Tried to pack my bags and called a friend. Wish you sent in his wood.
Grab my things and I went away. Where'd you go?
slots! Gonna keep us in the naked!
Track from Maximum the Hormone. That one was called Force, and you can find it on their 2001 album, Utole. The band will be performing at this year's Knotfest in October at the San Manuel Festival, and will follow it up with a New York date on October 27th at the Best Buy Theater. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you are a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. Follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade, and don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, in the Issues program. Remember, the next event us at Esh will be attending is the Boston Festival of Indie Games, which is on Saturday, September 13th. Tickets are $10 or two or more at $7.50 apiece. For more info, please visit bostonfig.com. It's going to be great. It's going to be me, Panda, and Ninja Sista. The Wicked Anime guys are going to be there. Scarlet Rhapsody is going to be there. There's going to be a lot of really cool people checking out the games and tabletop events. Trust me, it is a really fun place to go, and I couldn't recommend it more. Next week, there won't be a No Borders, No Race episode, but hopefully we'll have some interviews prepared at Boston Fig, so do tune in and get to know some really cool up-and-coming developers. We're going to wrap things up with a song from Noisy Cell. Now, not just any song, mind you, but the theme song to Barakamon, one of this year's best anime comedies. From their EP, Your Hands, this song is called Innocent. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. Thank you.
times I smile.